Coming up on Inside the Cleveland Browns, we meet two season ticket holders with a secret to tell.
We'll meet an integral part of the offense, quality control coach Mike McCarthy.
And we take a look at who the Browns may target in the 2015 draft.
All that and more next.
Good morning, Dog Pound. Welcome to another edition of Inside the Cleveland Browns, coming to you from inside the Browns practice facility here in Berea. I'm Dustin Fox, joined alongside Sarah Kearns as always. Sarah, we've got a great show lined up.
We sure do. Today we're giving you the opportunity to win tickets to see Luke Bryan. It's happening at First Energy Stadium on September 5th, but you have to watch the whole show to learn how to win.
All right, let's kick things off as we put Browns running back Isaiah Crowell on the hot seat in this edition of Browns Blitz.
My favorite Halloween costume growing up was a Michael Myers mask. My favorite thing to eat at Thanksgiving is ham, dressing, just soul food. If a ninja and a pirate got in a fight, the ninja would win because I just grew up watching Ninja Turtles. The number one thing on my bucket list is to go to Vegas. I'm gonna go and see what it's like, but I haven't been yet. My favorite college memory is winning SEC Freshman of the Year.
Isaiah Crowell delivers the stiff arm. Touchdown!
If I could be invisible or fly, I would choose to fly just because I could go anywhere I wanted. The player with the best hair on the team is me.
Okay, Crow's a little confident there with his hair. I'm going with Billy Winn in the mohawk for the best hair on the team.
Well, I would say it's more of a faux hawk than a mohawk, but it's pretty sweet.
What? I love his mohawk.
Let's just give it to Crow. I like the dreads.
All right, whatever.
All right, let's keep it on the offensive side of the ball as we get to learn about one of the new additions, quality control coach Mike McCarthy.
I'm Mike McCarthy. I'm the new offensive quality control coach for the Cleveland Browns.
Come on, get lined up. Go,
So basically, as far as an overall offensive, from an offensive standpoint, I'm there to basically help the coaches with anything, playbooks, breakdowns, drawings, all that good stuff. And then along with that, I'm going to assist the O-line with Coach DeLeon and Coach Moeller.
One, two, three, four, snap!
There you go.
Good, eh? When I first got out of college, you know, I didn't know anybody at the time. And I knew I wanted to coach, and I talked to my high school coach, Marcus Borden, and he basically said, hey, Mike, you know, if you want to get involved in coaching, you got to meet people, network, and you got to learn. So what I did was I went out and called all the local colleges and really didn't hear much back from him. And then what ended up happening was I reached out to the video guy, Chris Hayes at Rutgers, and had told him, hey, I'm willing to do anything. I just want to get involved. And, you know, he actually ended up saying, hey, you're going to start next week at 5:30. So, you know, that was really cool. And what I ended up doing was spring ball, started helping, volunteering with that. And then next thing you know, I'm graduating. I'm sitting there and I'm like, you know, what am I going to do from here? And basically what I ended up doing was, you know, coach had told me, hey, if you can withstand financially, find a way, you know. So what I did was I ended up working at Home Depot overnight, 40 hours a week, just to have benefits, sleep a couple hours, and then I would go into Rutgers and help out with recruiting and assisting the coaches. And then from there, I did video in the afternoon during practice. I knew it was going to be a long road just because of the pure fact that I didn't know a lot of people. And, you know, I just knew what it was going to take to get to that point was pretty much, you know, lack of sleep and all that other stuff. So at the end of the day, I had my goals of becoming a college football coach or even an NFL coach. When I got that call for the job, or actually for the interview, I was super excited. And I knew at the time I didn't have the job yet. I was going to have to come out on a flight and interview with Coach Pettine and Coach Flip. And, you know, but I knew I was going to come into this interview prepared, you know, like it meant everything. I mean, you know, just from interning and having a shot, you know, I knew what it was going to take, you know, and I was really fortunate. I actually ended up calling some of my mentors, like Coach Devlin and Coach Callahan, and they basically told me, hey, this is the way you got to prepare for a quality control coach interview, and, you know, here's the steps you need to take. And then I followed that along, got here, and got offered the job. I'm most excited about, you know, being here, just having an opportunity to kind of sit back and just sit in meetings and really just absorb all the information I can. And, you know, have an opportunity to work hands-on with Coach DeLeon and Coach Moeller and see their drills and their techniques of the way they teach the offensive line.
Come on, baby. Come on, baby.
As far as a unit, You know, the coaching staff's been unbelievable. You know, I think truly, in my opinion, in the places I've been, the last two stops that I've been, you know, we turned it around in 1 year. And I think it's really important to start with the people in the building. And just from an over, I've only been here a month, but I can already see that the coaching staff is clicking on all cylinders. We get along great. We all have the same goals, and I think that's really important.
Wow, I love this guy. I think it's just what Cleveland needs as a coach, that relentless drive, going from working at Home Depot to now being an NFL coach.
Yeah, and I also think he probably had to invest in a Red Bull when he was at Rutgers, right?
I'm sure.
All right, Dog Pound, keep it right here because we return. We meet Food Network star and Cleveland native Chris Hodgson.
If you had told me back when I was a little kid one day I'd be serving food at the Brown Stadium, I would have called you a liar.
The Browns partner up for a unique opportunity for students.
I don't think there's another sports team that has an opportunity like this.
And we break down the Browns' draft needs in 2015.
Welcome back to Inside the Cleveland Browns. From the Food Network to owning restaurants all over Cleveland, local chef Chris Hodgson knows a thing or two about the importance of tasty treats and the game of football.
Chris Hodgson here with Driftwood Restaurants and Catering Group. I'm one of the Cleveland Browns chef partners. We have the Hodgepodge stand as well as Downtown Dogs with quite an awesome new launch of a bigger stand coming this year.
Chris, welcome.
Thank you. I never actually knew you could become a chef until my dad told me, if you like to cook, why don't you go become a chef? So it's been a good 12 years now that I've been cooking, and I haven't worked a day in my life.
Mixing a hodgepodge, I guess, of different flavors.
Being able to use my hands, create something, bring happiness every single day through an art, is what I call food, is really a very fulfilling feeling. And to be able to serve people something and see instant gratification is really something that not a lot of people get to do in their jobs or in their passion in life. During the last 3 years, I've seen something happen that has never happened before. Cleveland has really put themselves on the map as far as culinary arts go. You have Jonathan Sawyers, the Roccos, the Michael Simons, so many notable chefs. Opening multiple concepts, multiple restaurants all over the city, and really making this become a culinary destination. And the Browns are smart enough to catch on to that. And so they teamed up with chefs that didn't just bring your normal hot dogs, hamburgers with American cheese and peanuts to it. They wanted kind of a new play on it. So brisket sandwiches, so Roccos meatballs, to loaded hot dogs that we do with pulled pork and tater tots and mac and cheese and just all sorts of kind of more culinary creative things that you can get at the stadium for the same price that you used to just get a hot dog. Downtown Dogs is going to be the new general concession stand. It's going to, of course, do the signature tater tots, which we've always done off of our food trucks, and then really gourmet hot dogs. The Cheesy Wonders one topped with mac and cheese and maple bacon and barbecue sauce, the hodgepodge dog, pulled pork, smashed tater tots, coleslaw, kind of just really gourmet fun twists and turns on hot dogs. If you had told me back when I was a little kid going to the old stadium, one day I'd be serving food at the Brown Stadium, I would have called you a liar. So I think for guys like myself, it's like a dream come true because it is this really new concept and you never saw it growing up. And now it's just starting to spread across the country. And being able to be a part of a landmark in Cleveland for one of the greatest teams in the NFL, it's a good feeling.
So amazing how many great chefs we have in Cleveland, but even better, they're actually in the stadium.
I know, we are so lucky. Yes. Some other cool things happening at the stadium. Just this past week, the Browns helped two season ticket holders make a really special announcement to their family and friends. Check this out.
My name is Jay. This is my wife, Katie. We are here in First Energy Stadium to take some pictures to announce my wife's pregnancy and that we will have a little Browns fan soon.
I grew up watching the Browns every Sunday with my dad and mom, and this child will do the same thing with us every Sunday. So I figured what a better way to sort of bring them into the fold than with their first moments being here with us.
One of my earliest memories is my dad having football parties at home. But when we moved up to Cleveland, he brought me to a game in 1986 versus the Redskins.
Municipal Stadium.
At Old Muni. So I remember that.
And yep.
How much fun it was. It just,
you were six.
It's obviously something. Yeah. It's obviously something I remember. So it would be cool to, you know, have my kids remember too.
And we thought, what a better way. You know, we have three seats.
And pretty soon the middle seat will be taken.
Sorry, JJ.
Sorry to all our friends.
Okay, that was like the cutest piece ever, but I feel bad for their friend who loses his seat.
I know, poor guy. Well, don't lose your seat. If you want to be a season ticket holder, head over to clevelandbrowns.com. And don't go anywhere because we'll be right back with more Inside the Cleveland Browns.
Coming up next, the Browns and the University of Findlay partnered to provide a special opportunity for students.
I think it was really important that we found a kind of a partner that shared our innovative vision.
We talk about the Browns' 2015 draft needs, and one lucky fan will win Luke Bryan tickets at the end of the show.
Welcome back to Inside the Cleveland Browns. Just last week, the Browns had the opportunity to team up with the University of Findlay, and they created an internship opportunity for students looking for a career in sports.
How did this partnership with Findlay come about?
You know, it came about, we had one of our employees was a Findlay graduate. And it was her out of the box thinking that got us in the meeting with them. And then after that, I think the people, and the, you know, we felt like the innovation and the goals were aligned, really got us going in the right direction.
The more the Browns learned about us and the more we learned about the goals of the administrative leaders of the Browns, the more interested we all became in this partnership.
I don't think there's another sports team across all four major sports that has an opportunity like this.
I know there's some partnerships with universities or colleges, but not with the focus that we have, which is having students in our building and then sharing our learnings with the university.
There are internships, but not at the level and the depth that we plan on taking this with Findlay.
I think it's one of the few in sports that are really focused on curriculum and really bringing theory to practice.
That's the exciting and fun part as well, is trying to do something that's outside the box that maybe has never been done at this capacity before. So I think that, you know, sharing those similar goals is the fun part.
I think it was really important that we found a kind of a partner that shared our innovative vision.
My mission and what I'm trying to create is create new opportunities for students. So with the marketing and some of the excitement that it will create on campus, both with our student involvement and with what our office tries to accomplish on campus, which is trying to create those new opportunities, it's fantastic.
Our number one job is to serve our stakeholders, which is our students. And our president and our administrative staff really understand the importance of providing them unique type of situations where they can learn the skills necessary later on when they're really applying for those jobs.
When I found out about the Browns partnership, I was like thrilled, and it's definitely one of the biggest things that's happened to the internship program and the sports and event management major, and everyone's really excited about it, and I was very honored to be asked to come.
The fact that the university has been able to present an opportunity like this to me just goes to show their drive towards helping their students.
I think the coolest part of it is the fact that there are such a wide variety of opportunities for students.
When we're recruiting students and we're talking to them, these opportunities that they're going to have to work with professionals at the Browns to learn more about sport business, to learn about business in general, is absolutely incredible. We like to think that we're unique. You know, our culture is something that we're very, very proud of. And every time I've been up here, it's been awesome to see how much that aligns with the Cleveland Browns.
The organization in general and the people that are here are passionate just like we are. We're trying to help build these individuals and these young individuals to be able to be better prepared after graduation.
We'll learn from Findlay. Findlay will learn from us. We'll get better from having your students. Your students will get better from being here.
You know, hopefully we're getting students in here that are getting experience, and then they're better prepared when they graduate, which shortens the learning curve no matter where they start. So if they're working for the Browns or another organization, whether it's collegiate or an agency or professional team, their learning curve is shortened. They're off to a great start.
You should just know that Findlay Orange and the Browns Orange will work very well together.
can't think of a better place to get a real-life experience in the sports industry than right here in an NFL facility.
Yeah, you're so right. There aren't many opportunities like that, so I can't wait to see where that program goes.
All right, Dog Pound, don't go away, because when we come back, we're going to have the experts dig into the 2015 NFL Draft. All right, Browns fans, are you ready for some trivia? Well, here you go. Who is the only Browns player to be inducted into both the Pro Football Hall of Fame and the Lacrosse Hall of Fame? Is it A, Marion Motley, B, Paul Warfield, or C, Jim Brown? The answer when we come back. Who is the only Browns player to be inducted into both the Pro Football Hall of Fame and the Lacrosse Hall of Fame? Well, the answer is C, Jim Brown. He was inducted into the Lacrosse Hall of Fame in 1983.
Welcome back to Inside the Cleveland Browns. We're only weeks away from the draft. I can't believe we're almost here. So we thought, what a great time to highlight some of the best Browns draft picks in history. And of course, we have to start with one of the greatest players to ever play the game.
The 1957 draft saw Cleveland Browns head coach Paul Brown select arguably the greatest running back in NFL history, Jim Brown. A fullback from Syracuse University, Brown was drafted with the 6th overall pick. Brown made an immediate impact his rookie season, rushing for 942 yards and 9 touchdowns, helping him earn that season's Rookie of the Year award. In the 9 seasons that Brown played in Cleveland, he earned 4 league MVP honors, was named AP All-Pro 8 times, and was selected to 9 straight Pro Bowls. At the time of his retirement, Brown was the NFL's record holder for single-season yards with 1,863, career rushing yards with 12,312, total touchdowns with 126, and all-purpose yards with 15,459. He was the first player ever to reach the 100 rushing touchdowns milestone and is the only rusher in NFL history to average over 100 yards per game for a career. Brown is still the all-time leading rusher for the Cleveland Browns. And in 1971, Jim Brown was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Here's a little fun fact for you guys about the 1957 Browns draft class. Jim Brown, of course, a part of that, went to the Hall of Fame. He wasn't the only member of that 57 group that went to the Hall of Fame. There was 2 other ones, Gene Hickerson and Henry Jordan as well.
Wow, you're right. Man, so impressive. Mm-hmm. Well, keeping in the spirit of the draft, Nathan Zagura and company got together to talk a little draft and speculate what college prospects could be a good fit for the Orange and Brown.
Fellas, draft approaching. Browns, 10 picks, 2 in the first round. We're going to focus on those first rounders for our mock draft. Start with you, Gribbs. Number 12, where do you see the Browns going?
Well, you know, I look at the position that the Browns really didn't address in free agency, and that's kind of that edge pass rusher. And I'm starting to think Shane Ray from Missouri is going to fall to Cleveland. Not that he has done anything wrong, but he had that injury, so, you know, maybe he's not a top 10 pick anymore, so he slides to number 12, and a great coup for the Browns to get the SEC Defensive Player of the Year. And just fits a need that he can start right away.
Browns definitely need pass rushes. Matt, where do you see the Browns going to 12?
I've got them going with Danny Shelton. He shined at the Senior Bowl. He was the hot commodity coming out of that event and that All-Star game. I think the big 3 wide receivers are going to be off the board by the time we get to 12, and I think Danny Shelton to bolster that run defense for us up front with the addition to Randy Starks is going to be a great asset.
If Devontae Parker is there, I still take Danny Shelton over him because I think he's going to be a superstar player, 90 tackles, his senior season at Washington, 9 sacks too, so I think he's a guy that becomes the centerpiece of your defense. You look at the linebackers, you got Dansby, secondary, Gibson, and Hayden. You're missing that superstar on the D-line. I think it's Danny Shelton.
You explained exactly why he's not going to be there. That's why, right? I think so many other teams are going to like him. I think the Chicago Bears are the biggest threat to the Browns for Danny Shelton. He fits a need there on defense. John Fox loves defense. I just don't think he's going to be there at number 12.
All right, number 19, second pick in the first round for the Browns.
You know, I know we want 2 immediate starters, and this guy could fit that role, but he'll have to compete to get that. And I think the Browns go offensive line with Lyle Collins. He fits, he can play tackle, he can play guard, he's versatile. Makes your offensive line better, even if he's not starting.
This is where I disagree, because I think offensive line already the strongest suit of the Cleveland Browns. Why waste a first-round pick on depth You got Michael Bowie at right tackle.
That's
Mitchell
what I
Schwartz.
Want to see. What do you have with him? I agree.
19th pick, I have Bud Dupree. That's where we address the pass rusher Gribble. I think he'll fall. He's 270 pounds, ran a 4.5 40. I think he could be a plug-and-play starter, too, next to Paul Kruger. He'll compete with Mingo. Big body, and he's going to get sacks.
For me personally, to add some depth, and I went with Andrews Pete out of the University of Stanford. And the reason why I picked him over a guy like Lyle Collins is simply because Jim Harbaugh and who he and the type of players he recruited at the University of Stanford all come pro ready. So I think the transition for him is going to be very easy to immediately go into a competition, you know, whether it be at guard or at tackle, and someone that can contribute and just solidify that run game and protect whoever it is playing the quarterback for the Cleveland Browns.
I don't want it. I don't want it on the offensive line.
Neither
we need people to come in and make impacts for this team. And I think Bowie is a guy who started in the league. 9 games, graded out very well, and you have him. That's your draft pick. He's still in a rookie contract. That's the guy that you see what you have there. That's your investment. I don't want that in the first round. So I'm thinking along the lines of you are edge rusher, and this is a guy many times people thought was top five, but now they're saying if he hits 15, he could make it to the Browns at 19. That's Randy Gregory. So if that happens for the Browns, I think that's a home run. You get your pass rusher. Guy will alternate with Mingo, bring speed off the blind side in the 3-4, and the Browns have what they need. This is a defensive team.
We got to adjust this. Our fans watching this are going to be like, why not a wide receiver? And I think there's...
Get him at round two. Round two, you're probably going to have an opportunity to get a guy at Devin Funchess. Jalen Strong could potentially be there, and a guy who just had a great pro day, Rashad Perriman, who I like a lot out of UCF. But if you look at last year to this year, your number one receiver last year was Miles Austin, two would be Hawk, and three was probably Travis Benjamin. Now you've got Dwayne Bowe, Brian Hartline, and Hawk. You're in a spot where you can go in the season with that starting group, and you're in a much better position than you were a year ago.
Well, I don't know about you, Sarah, but hearing them speculate about all the different directions they could go, it gets me pretty pumped up for this draft.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I'm excited, too. Well, Browns fans, thank you so much for joining us for another edition of Inside the Cleveland Browns. As promised, we're giving away two tickets to the Luke Bryan concert that's happening at First Energy Stadium on September 5th. For your chance to win, go right now and log on to clevelandbrowns.com/BrownsTV and enter the keyword summer.
And be sure to keep it right here for the Dog Pound Report that's coming up next. Nathan Zagura and Andy Baskin going to be talking all things Browns. And how about this? Joe Thomas going to be making a special appearance. For Sarah Carnes, I'm Dustin Fox. We'll see you guys next week.